Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Chase and Big Joe with you. Usually on Wednesdays, that's when we talk to John McClain, but he's joining us a day early because he's going to be traveling. John joins us now. John, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Appreciate the time as always. Let's start with the big news that came out that both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, they have re-upped with the Cincinnati Bengals. Chase is now the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. T. Higgins getting a nice deal as well. So they have long-term deals with the quarterback and their top two wide receivers. But when you look at this Bengals team, is it basically going to be score 35 after giving up 34?
They finished last season, I think, a five-game winning streak, but they notoriously start slow. Joe Burrow starts slow. I love seeing the Bengals spend money because they're notorious for being one of the cheapest teams in the league. And Burrow campaigned for this so much, and he did it publicly. And Mike Brown and his family came up with the money. Now they got to get Trey Hendrickson, he's under contract, so he could hold out if he wanted to. But boy, you got a guy 17 and a half sacks leading the NFL. You do not want to lose him. And I think they'll get it done. The Bengals are showing me something I have never seen, a willingness to spend a lot of money to try to win. And you know their fans are fired up. And I do not believe they will let trade Trey Hendrickson because he's just too valuable to what they have on defense. They have a new defensive coordinator. If I'm the fans up there, I'm thinking, okay, Baltimore's going to be favored in the AFC North, and it's the Bengals, not the Steelers, certainly not the Browns, who are going to put the most heat on them is to try to dethrone them as division champions.
Yeah, when I look at Cincinnati, and you're right, they've been one of the cheapest teams in NFL history. But, you know, Mike Brown's obviously not getting any younger. I mean, is this the window? Are they looking at this is the window where we got to win a Lombardi?
Well, as long as you got a quarterback, I don't think there's anything as a window. You know, as the players get older, sometimes teams will hang on veterans that have been productive too long. That's what happened to the Cowboys under Tom Landry. He was too loyal to a lot of players he should have gotten rid of a couple of years before. And Joe Burrow, I guess he takes great care of himself. You can see him playing into his 40s. So I think once they all, you know, get closing in on 35 maybe. But right now people are pumped in Cincinnati about what Mike Brown is showing.
Oh, absolutely. Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show. John, I have to stick with the best stories of this offseason. The Texans signed Derek Stingley to the largest contract ever for a cornerback, for a defensive back. And obviously, you know, what happened to his grandfather, you know, with the Patriots and paralyzed during a game. I just think this is a really good story because by all accounts, this young man is a good man, and to see it all happening right now is really cool. It's a great story, John.
It is a great story. Everybody was frustrated his first 2 years. He was the third overall pick. Sauce Gardner went fourth. Sauce Gardner was Defensive Rookie of the Year. And next year it was Will Anderson Jr. And Stingley played 9 and 8 games because of hamstring injuries. Then he came back last year, and he was fantastic. He played as well or better than any cornerback I've covered in my 49 years of covering the NFL. And he is a really good guy. He's very quiet. I wish he was a better talker. I watch him. I don't know if he's intimidated by the media or what, because he's certainly not shy with his teammates. And that'll last, highest paid defensive player, highest paid non-quarterback. It changes weekly because players are getting so much money, and I'm all for them getting every penny they can get because the owners cut them under contract all the time. But it's money well spent by the Texans. They knew they were going to do it. It's one reason they traded Laremy Tunsil. They were not going to extend him after this season when he'll be 32 next season. So they got it done. And next year, I don't know if they'll do Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. or if they'll do Stroud first, but both are eligible after 3 years. And when Deshaun Watson was eligible for his extension, they did it after 3 years. So one reason, when you see a team stockpiling draft choices, it's a pretty good idea. They know they're going to need a lot of young players on their first contracts so they can, you know, make room for the big ones.
Oh, yeah. John, let me ask you this. You've covered the league a long time. Do you remember that? Because I think it was a preseason game in 77 or 78 when his grandpa was hit by Jack Tatum. Do you remember all that and the kind of the after effects of what happened?
I was covering the NFL, and the guy that hit Derek Stingley was Jack Tatum, who ended his career with the Oilers. People see the play today. Stingley lowered his head over the middle. Tatum, who was known as the toughest, roughest player in the NFL. You don't say dirty because there's really no such thing as dirty back then. You could get away with anything.
Right.
Can you imagine a defensive lineman grabbing Patrick Mahomes, picking him up like it's WWE, and slamming him to the ground? Oh. He used to do that legally. You could hit him in the head coming across the middle with a padded forearm. You could go for the knees. You could do anything like that. And not only was he not fined, Tatum was not penalized. And it was a preseason game, and Stingley was paralyzed the rest of his life. And Jack Tatum, when he came to the Oilers, I did a big story about him in 1980 preseason, about what he went through after that, knowing that he had paralyzed a guy. So, yeah, that was a big deal. And Derek Stingley Jr., he doesn't talk much about it. His dad's more likely to talk about it. And but he's not a great player to interview, but he is a great player to watch.
Love it.
Yes, he is, for sure. We will have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, continuing our conversation with the great John McClain. John, I saw on Twitter earlier today, and I can't believe this, that it's been 3 years since longtime NFL reporter John Clayton passed away, and obviously we all know him from ESPN and his time in Seattle. How much interaction did you have with him over the years?
I knew John very well. I used to see him at the league meetings in March, at the Combine, and at the draft. And then, of course, when he was covering the NFL and not the Seahawks, most of the time he covered the Seahawks, except late in his career. And when he was at ESPN, he made one of the all-time great commercials, screaming at his ma. And, boy, when I think about all the writers, Don Banks from Sports Illustrated, Steve Schoenfeld from Phoenix, they're just, as I get older, more and more gone. None is missed more than John Clayton.
Yeah, he was always great with us. You know, as when I was starting my career, he was one of the first that I'd reach out to get on, and couldn't have been nicer. So, obviously, missing John Clayton 3 years after his passing. Now, you have been coming on this show and been very, very steadfast that the Titans are taking a quarterback number one overall. Now it seems like everybody is starting to agree with you. But when you look at that offensive line, you look at some of the moves that they've made – to me, they're all pointing in that direction, that they're gearing up to have a young quarterback, and especially with the O-line, they want to protect him. Is that what you're seeing too?
Absolutely. You know, you don't get the number one pick and have a desperate need at quarterback without quarterback unless they're clearly not worth it. And I read some of these experts, and I trust a lot of them. One of them I saw this week has Shedeur Sanders rated as a second rounder. I'd be shocked as Cam Ward rated like 10th. Give me a break. And I talked to a guy this yesterday who knows Cam Ward really well and was talking about his personality, how hard he works, how he came from nowhere here when he was a zero-star recruit. And it, you don't go from zero to being the first pick in the draft without being smart and without being an incredible worker and an incredible learner. And he's improved every season. That is the mark of the kind of player you want. He doesn't have to have a cannon arm. You know, he's got to be accurate. Today, they like him to be mobile. He has everything you want, and he's going to keep getting better.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, a couple weeks ago, Chase and I had Jeff Fisher on the show for a little bit, and we talked about having that number one pick. Remember, they got in 2016. They traded with the Titans. And he was like telling us, he's like, you know, when we acquired that pick, we were going to go after Jared Goff. He goes, but people were still sending us offers and talking to us up until the last second, on and on and on and on and on. And I found it fascinating, John, when you have that number one pick, what teams will throw at you. The Giants need a quarterback. Could you see them somehow, some way, offering up the farm for the Titans to move up to number one?
No, I don't think, number one, if you're going to go from 3-1, you don't offer the farm. You do that when you're like the Carolina Panthers and you go from 9th to 1. And I think that might scare somebody off right there. And there's no guarantee Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders. And it just depends on what they like. But I cannot see a situation where the Titans do not take a quarterback. And because if they do, what is their alternative? Will Levis? They're trying to turn the team around when they're moving into the new stadium and everything's going to be more expensive. And to get people to spend, you got to give them hope and optimism. And if you don't have a quarterback, you don't. Just the idea of taking a quarterback number one, you got 2-3 years for him to show some progress. He's played enough in different systems. He's played in 3 different systems, Cam Ward has. And I think that's good because he showed he can adapt, adjust to whatever they're teaching him, new teammates, new system. I think Brian Callahan would like working with him a lot unless they pull a fast one and take Shedeur Sanders, which I don't think they will. But this team has got to give, like I said, hope and optimism because when you move into a new stadium, if you're really down, like Bud Adams picked a time to try to get a new stadium here when the Oilers were coming off a 2-14 season. And you talk about bad timing, that was the worst timing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. John, all right, so now we wait on Aaron Rodgers because that's the domino in the crystal ball. Where do you think he goes, John? Is there the slight possibility that he says he's done?
I can't imagine if he was going to say he's done, why wouldn't he have said it while he's down there walking on the beach in Australia with a black towel or cape or whatever around him, you know, studying life. And I don't understand Minnesota's plan. He wants to go to the Vikings. If the Vikings take him, are they going to play him over J.J. McCarthy? If that was the case, why didn't they just keep Sam Darnold? His 3-year deal, the Seahawks can get out of it after 1 year. I also don't understand why money would be an issue with Rodgers when he's made over $300 million. And I'd like to see him get stuck with the Giants. It'd be a great story because they're awful, and he might wish that he had played for the minimum for the Steelers or the Vikings, but he's going to be the immediate starter in Pittsburgh, so why wouldn't he want to go play for Mike Tomlin?
Oh, I totally agree. And I just think it's funny, John, because the path he's on if he signs for the Vikings is the exact same path of the guy that has always tried to get out from under his shadow, Brett Favre. That's why I kind of hope he goes to the Vikings because that narrative continues on right now. But I'm with you. The Steelers is the slam dunk for him.
Yeah, I thought Daniel Jones might re-sign with them, and because there's no guarantee J.J. McCarthy's going to be real good right off the bat. He hasn't played. He's a second year, could have a sophomore slump and growing pains, and he could get hurt. You might wish that you had a veteran quarterback, and Darnold knew the system, so it's just very curious what's going on there and why he would want to go there without a guarantee of being the starter when he could go to Pittsburgh and get that guarantee for a coach who doesn't have losing records, which means he's always going to compete for the playoffs.
Amen. I'm with you 100% on that. John, as always, thank you. It's the best segment every week being with you. I appreciate you. Have fun in Vegas, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you very much, as always. I look forward to it.
All right, John McClain joins us every, usually Wednesday, had to switch to Tuesday this week because he's going to Vegas out there. All right, we'll take a break. We're live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coming up next, 9 years ago today, I consider it the greatest upset in college basketball NCAA tournament history. Happened 9 years ago today, and the guy that was on the call that game will join us next. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. I could see our next guest doing this at Conrad's in Murfreesboro back in the 80s. Before we bring in Chip Walters real quick, shout out to the gang at Six Pack Coverage and Andrew Grayson listening on the show today. Love you guys. Love your content. Should follow them on Instagram. They do a great job. Six Pack Coverage. Andrew, thank you for reaching out, my man. Let's bring in Chip Walters. Chip, good morning to you. Before, let's talk about what happened 9 years ago today. Let's talk about what we need tonight, because the Blue Raiders are in the postseason taking on Chattanooga in the NIT.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Joe. And while you were probably a Conrad's guy, I was a Daddy Rabbit guy and back in the day. And matter of fact, I used to spin a few tunes there as a DJ at Daddy Rabbit's. But between Daddy Rabbit's and Faces, that was a lot of my time back in the early 80s. As a
good.
But, yeah, and, you know, you talked about what happened 9 years ago. You know, I'm so fortunate that, number one, I was able to broadcast the Michigan State game 9 years ago, but I was a student and was at the Kentucky win in 1982. But we'll get to that in a minute. Talk about tonight, Middle and Chattanooga. You got both teams got knocked out of their conference tournament in the semifinals. Chattanooga's 24-9. They're really good. They had a 12-game winning streak at one point during the season that included eight straight on the road. They've rolled. They really they're similar to Liberty in their style of play. But it's a 7 o'clock tip-off. That's the big thing we need to know. The other thing is tickets. GoBlueRaiders.com/tickets. Go right there. Easy link to get to. GoBlueRaiders.com/tickets. You'll scroll down and you'll see the NIT logo. I checked it out yesterday. $25 for adults. The NIT sets those ticket prices. And for 17 and under, they're $15. And they're all general admission, which means the earlier you get to the arena, the better your seats are. It's not, if you had season tickets, you're in a certain section, you don't necessarily have those for tonight. It is all general admission. And I think back on a couple of recent NIT home games that Middle had, one against Vermont and one against Minnesota, where it was a GA admission like this. And the atmospheres were absolutely fantastic. And when you look at Middle's history in the NIT, especially at home, it's been something special, going all the way back to 1988 when they beat Tennessee and Georgia in back-to-back games at home. And, you know, it's just been a lot of fun. This is Middle's fifth trip to the NIT, and it's been a tournament that's made some great memories for Blue Raider fans.
We're talking to Chip Walters on the Chase and Big Joe Show live from the Omni Nashville Hotel in downtown Nashville. So you talk about this game. You know, it's tough to get in the tournament. We know this every single year. But the second chance now for teams like Middle and Chattanooga and FAU that's in it, this is fun, right? I mean, this is supposed to be fun tonight, right?
Well, I heard this morning on a show Richie McKay was talking, the coach at Liberty, he was talking about what it's like being in a mid-major trying to get into the NCAA tournament. You know, when you, you know, this SEC 14 team thing is crazy with a bunch of teams under 500 going and all that. He goes, as a mid-major coach, he goes, it's like trying to thread a needle in the dark. And because most mid-major leagues have become or are one-bid leagues, and that's what happened here. And then, so, you mean, make the most of your opportunities that you get in the postseason. And the NIT is one of those where you have a chance to make a run. If Middle wins tonight, they're going to play either Dayton or FAU. And depending on who wins that game, you know, Middle could be hosting again on Sunday. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement that goes along with it. We've seen it before. And, you know, the crowd, it really makes a huge difference in getting the juice flowing in the arena. Coach McDevitt had a practice on Sunday afternoon before they knew they were in and knew they were going to host. They didn't know the opponent. But so they had a practice Sunday afternoon for about an hour, got them in the arena, and just kind of went through running all of their stuff. You know, out of bounds plays, you know, sets, all that kind of stuff, just to make sure they're dialed in on their own stuff. And I went by there just to kind of make sure, and just to kind of look at body language, things like that. And there was a lot of smiles. You know, they were bouncing around pretty good, and they made the practice competitive. So it's one of those things when you get to this point, you want to have a team that wants to continue playing, and this team really wants to continue playing. Doesn't mean it doesn't guarantee you any wins or anything tonight.
Right.
But it sure puts you in a good mindset, and to go out and for the coaches gives you confidence that you're going to have a team that's going to be ready to go tonight. And this team has been that way all year long. You know, it hasn't been perfect, but this has been a mature team that has soaked in scouts. They have not panicked. They have continued to, you know, they made a great run at the end against Jacksonville State, just came up 2 points short. So, you know, tonight it's a fresh start again for everybody. And for Midland Chattanooga, I think both teams, you know, feel like there's meat on the bone out there for them. And it starts tonight with a good local matchup.
Oh, I totally agree. Talking to Chip Walters, it's, you know, it's not every year that you get a postseason basketball tournament on your campus. All right, Chip, 9 years ago today, Middle knocks off Michigan State. And I was looking at this. Bracket-wise, this was the greatest upset ever because so many people had picked Michigan State to win the national title bracket-wise, and Middle knocked them off. When did you realize in that game, Chip, where Middle was going to win? For me, they couldn't stop making three-pointers. I'm like, they're going to win this game. But for you, you called the game. When did you realize Middle was going to win that game?
Well, you know, they got off to a great start. They were up 15-0 in the game, or 15-2, and Izzo, Coach Tom Izzo had to call a timeout, but you knew that they were going to make runs, and they had such, you know, they're so well coached and were such good, had such good players that, you know, you don't take anything for granted against a team like that, and you get, you know, for me, it got deeper into the second half, and there was the thing that really cemented it for me is Middle got the ball. I can't remember if it was on a turnover or on a rebound, but it started with Giddy Potts, and he threw it down to Darnell, who then threw it to Reggie for a dunk that was kind of the coup de grace.
Yeah.
Because Michigan State had made a run, but the ball never touched the floor except one time. Darnell bounced it and then shot a pass to Reggie, who was streaking to the goal. But you know, that was the moment then that, you know, you knew, okay, they can't catch us now. And I thought the key to that whole second half that year was that while Michigan State made run after run, Middle never let them get the lead. And so they kept that middle edge of having the lead against that ball club. And you're right, at the time it was the biggest seeding upset of all time. Since then, Maryland, Baltimore County, and Fairleigh Dickinson have come up and been 16 and over ones, and have taken that title. But at the time, it was something else. And you know, the other thing that added to that, Joe, was that it was a Friday afternoon, and it was the CBS national game. So everybody in the country was seeing what was happening. And you know, I can't tell you, I got more text messages that day than I've ever gotten in my life. What it did, I think Andrew Ottman has some numbers on, you know, how much media exposure, what the value of that was.
Yes.
For MTA, for the university at the time. It was just the synergy of all of that was crazy. I remember walking back from the arena to the hotel, and you know, had a middle polo on or whatever, and just people, you know, shaking their, you know, pumping their fists when they'd see anybody wearing middle gear and you know, pumping everybody up. It was a magical afternoon in St. Louis, and you know, it's a day that I'll never forget. And you want to see that happen again, and it will. But right now you take what's in front of you and try to make a great run here, like Middle did in 1988, beating Tennessee and Georgia at home, and coming up one game short of going to New York at the time,
right,
against Dana Barros and Boston College. You know, just that was an unbelievable run that they put together there. And so, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. And I think you've got two teams that are both extremely well coached and that both will play the game the right way and get after each other in a great way. And you've got both are really skilled. Chattanooga is a top 60 offensive team in the country. They're not as great defensively as they are on offense, but they share the ball well. They average about 17 assists per game, which Middle's got to be really ready, especially with their help side defense, to be ready to go tonight. But 7 o'clock, doors will open, and it is a free-for-all to get the best seats in the house.
Love it, Chip. We'll hear you on 93.3, 95.1 down in Murfreesboro tonight. Let's do this so we can have you back on later in the week, man. Always appreciate you. As I tell everybody, you are the best voice in college athletics, and I know that for a fact. Appreciate you, man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, man. GoBlueRaiders.com/tickets. Get them right now.
There you go. Chip Walters on the call tonight on 93.3 for the Blue Raiders taking on Chattanooga. All right, we'll take a quick break before we do. Let me tell you about a special event happening at the Omni at Barlines. If you've never been to Barlines at the Omni National Hotel, I think it's a perfect spot downtown. It's out. They open the doors. It's beautiful right there on John Lewis Way. It's so great. Tomorrow night, you will have a songwriter night called If This Bar Could Talk, If I Could Talk, If This Bar Could Talk, Songs and Stories from Barlines, features some of the best songwriters in Nashville, Jamie Adamson, Colton Armstrong, Mary Lynn Bates, Dave Kane. It is free tomorrow night at Barlines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Come down, be a part of that. It's so much fun. By the way, the Omni is the best-smelling hotel in America. I'm telling you right now, the best-smelling hotel in America. Come down, hang out with us. We'll see you tomorrow night at Barlines If This Bar Could Talk. We'll take a break. Come back next. It is America's favorite segment, Celebrity Birthdays. And what day is it? That's next here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show live at the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel. And Kitchen Notes, come by and see Kitchen Notes. Again, Kitchen Notes it's got a packed house in here this morning. Perfect food, great people. Stop by and see Tim and Megan and everybody here. It's always good. So Omni National Hotel, proud sponsor of the Big Joe and Chase Show. Oh, the other way around, Chase and Big Joe Show. Sorry, Chase. With that, Dr. Crane, Chase has got Preds duties. We have a special guest whose birthday is in a moment, Dr. Crane. But before that, take it, buddy.
Joe, there we go. Mic was not on there.
There we go. There you go. That mic's important.
It is indeed. First on the list, we have Awkward Moments Day. So just like now.
Let's see.
Forgive Mom and Dad Day. So I guess forgive your mom and dad. Let's see. Goddess of Fertility Day. National Agriculture Day.
Yep.
National Biodiesel Day. World Social Work Day. Supreme Sacrifice Day, and then wrapping up with some food days here. National Lacey Oatmeal Cookie Day. All right. Let me go.
Did you say laced oatmeal cookie?
Lacey. L-A-C-Y, yeah.
What is that? What's a Lacey cookie?
I don't know. It must be some fancy person that makes these oatmeal cookies.
I know what a racy cookie is. All right, time for celebrity birthdays.
What? We got one more. National Sloppy Joe Day.
No.
Yes.
Yes, good. Now, is that Sloppy Joe Key West or Sloppy Joe the food or Sloppy Joe me?
I mean, it could be all three if you want them to.
Does Nani make Sloppy Joes?
Yes, she can make Sloppy Joe sandwiches.
Well, what are we waiting on?
She had that surgery, so she's getting recouped from all that.
All right, well, then when she gets better, Sloppy Joes.
You got it.
I'll go buy the meat at MAPCO.
Okay.
All right. Now can I do the read for celebrity birthdays?
Yes, sir, you can.
All right, celebrity birthdays brought to you by friends at Jarrett Companies. They go above and beyond industry standards, the only company you need for commercial construction services. They have commercial, plumbing, HVAC, all forms of HVAC units, wide-ranging fire protection, sprinkler systems, extinguishers, electrical services, electrical installations, electrical inspections, upgrades, or replacements. Visit them at JarrettCompaniesInc.com, JarrettCompaniesInc.com. On our show, we have a super fan who plays celebrity birthdays with me every day. We're bringing him on, our good friend George. George, good morning. How are you? Welcome to America's Favorite Segment.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me. I was also going to remind you all it is National Sloppy Joe Day as well.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, George, you always do so well when you text me after the show. So here you go. George, you go first on these birthdays. Our first birthday, you got to get within 2 years. Vanessa Williams, former Miss America. How old, George, is Vanessa Williams?
Let's see. 61.
67. Did George say 61?
Yes.
She is 62. George is on the board. 1-0. Well done, George. We'll continue down. I like this. Queen Latifah, George. How old is Queen Latifah?
I believe she is my age, 57.
I'm going to go 54.
She's 55. We're tied at 1. All right, I like this. I like it a lot.
I got one there, Joe. 57.
Yeah, he was closer, though.
Okay. I get it. Okay.
54. Come on, George. You play the game, buddy. Okay. Comedian Dane Cook, pay-per-view, 20 minutes. Let's go. Dane Cook.
55.
61.
53. George is up 2-1. Fun fact, George has gotten all three so far, Nick, so get on your game, buddy. Nick, a guy you love, Adam Levine, lead singer of Maroon 5. George, how old is Adam Levine?
Let's try 53.
44.
46. We're tied at 2. You guys are killing it today. All right, let's go down a few more here. Don't know who that is. Never seen her before. Don't know who this is. We got some people coming. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Stick with me for a second. Actor Jeffrey Owens. He was on The Cosby Show. He dated the oldest daughter, Jeffrey Owens.
260.
63.
64. Nick, you're up 3-2. Good job. Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs, TV personality Mike Rowe.
63.
64.
63, exactly. George is on top, 4-3. You guys are killing it today. All right, go some more here and see here. Oh, singers Evan and Jaren of Evan and Jaren. They had a big hit back in the 90s and 2000s. Evan and Jaren.
47.
50.
51. We're tied at 4. This is amazing once again this week. Let me scoop down a little bit here and see what else we got here. All right, time for the sports part of this. Olympic skater Bonnie Blair. How old is Bonnie Blair?
62.
66.
61. George is on top 5-4. Andre Rison, former Michigan State receiver. Andre Rison.
58
exactly. George is up 7-4. Former Buffalo Bill quarterback who's probably still has nightmares of Javon Curse, Rob Johnson. Rob Johnson. How old is Rob Johnson, George?
51.
53.
52. That's a push, you two. Former Bronco quarterback, now quarterback coach for the 49ers, Brian Griese. Brian Griese.
51. 54. 50.
George is up 8-4. Our final birthday in honor of the Nashville Predators. Former Nashville Predator, Kimmo Timonen. However you say his last name. Kimmo!
Oh, gosh. I should know this. Let's do 49.
51.
He's 50. That's a push. But the final tally, George wins 8-4. Our super fan. George, well done, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Have a good day, George. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
Same here, George. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Nick, how do you let the super fan beat you?
I don't know, man. I tried. Is that the best I can say is I tried?
You did try. All right, man. Appreciate you as always, Dr. Crane. You're the best. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
All right. Well, this is up for us. DVD's up next. I think they might be at the arena today because the Preds have the game tonight against St. Louis. Thanks always to Todd and the great staff at the Omni National Hotel. And listen, you know, we close every show out to our guys out there. If you are struggling and you need to talk to somebody on your cell phone, you can call or text 988. I have called that number. I have had a dark moment where I called that number, and somebody's always there. I'm telling you, reach out to somebody. If you're going through anything in your life, please do that. I told you, your journey is a beautiful journey. Yeah, sometimes it's full of potholes and dark clouds, but that's our journey. Your journey is unique. And I'm telling you right now, every day, that if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. That's why we want you to know that you are tremendously loved. Remember that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you. Have a great day. DVD's next.